This is Those Who Show Up Decide with Alamogordo's Paul, Master Sergeant Chez Sanchez, retired. He doesn't want you to think like him, he just wants you to think. He knows that only those who show up decide. Relaying pertinent information that feeds the decisional process, here he is, your friend and mine, Chez.
And good morning, sports fans. Man, I really got to come up with a new intro than good morning, sports fans, because basically, that's old. It's been used. So if you got any suggestions for, you know, good morning, peeps, good morning, dudes, but there's dudettes, so I don't even know where to go there. But yes, if you have suggestions, please share. Go ahead and post on my page, Those Who Show Up Decide. I'm looking for a catchphrase. Wow, we kind of had a week there, didn't we? Okay, so we did our show last week, and of course, I did my closing arguments on the election and talked about the roller derby that we had, and of course, how we had won the canine contest. Man, it has just been nonstop for the last couple of months here in the Big Basin. Those who show up decide. We've been covering so many different issues. Most of the segments that I usually do, like the 1001 dumbest things ever said by somebody besides Jez, I've let those go. I haven't done an R flag in like 2 months. I'm massively behind on those. I think I need to spend a couple of days just recording my whole 52-week series on just those and then drop them in as we go. Basically, the entire format of my show is toast, all right? But the election, oh my Lord, thank you, happened on Tuesday. And mind you, I'm not saying thank you for Trump getting elected. We'll talk about that in a second. And I am thankful for that. I'm just thankful that it's over, that it's done with, okay? I mean, the drama of the last 2 years is beyond reasonable and absolutely epic. And we're going to be talking about, on today's show, I'm going to try to remember some of the predictions and conspiracy theories that I've come up with over the last couple of years. And wow, how wrong I was. Okay, it's actually kind of humorous. So we'll be talking about that here in a minute. And then we've got two great interviews. I got an interview with New Mexico State District 51, because I always remember the number by Area 51, but District 51 Representative Yvette Harrell. Talked to her on Tuesday evening, and it was well before any states got called. I don't even think Florida had been called at that point. And I also got an interview, and that was down at GOP headquarters here in Alamogordo, New Mexico. And I also got an interview with Bill Burt, who is the state senator for Yvette's the representative for District 51. Bill's the state senator for District 33 because Ron Griggs is District 34. And I am both Yvette and Bill. I am one of their constituents. I get to vote for them every time. Bill ran unopposed, so did Ron Griggs. Yvette did have an opponent, Denise Lang. We've talked about her on the show. We've done a couple of interviews and other comments with her, and she did lose, okay? But I think she tried really hard to fight a good race and bring her points together. And when she made points that weren't accusations toward Yvette, I think she had some great points, and I appreciated her participating. But with that said, as we well know, in elections and in football games and all kind of stuff, there are winners and there are people that in our politically correct society are not winners. I'm not going to say that they were losers because, you know, that has a whole connotation there and I don't want to offend anybody's delicate sensibilities. But Yvette did win, and so we'll be talking to her about what her goals for her office and why she ran again. This is going to be her fourth term when she officially takes office for that term, which I think is in the beginning of January. So we talked to her. So a couple of great interviews and other stuff. We have a new sponsor here on thebigbasin.com. And as a result, we're going to make sure that we play their ads as well here on Those Who Show Up Decide. So we're going to hit that ad. And as soon as we're done with that, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about just exactly how goofy Chez is in his predictions over the last couple of years. Okay, so I'll be back.
Folks, I want to tell you a little secret. I quit buying soap. I quit buying soap and shaving cream. I quit buying them at the stores because I'm now doing what thousands of others are now doing. I want to tell you about SudsySoapery.com. They're makers of natural and therapeutic soap and shaving products. For me, they're creating a new and rejuvenating experience. I've turned my bathroom into a personal spa, and I'm feeling refreshed again. And here's another little secret. Get a 10% discount at checkout by using the discount code Jason. Check them out at sudsysoapery.com.
So I was scared at the beginning of the commercial when Jason said that he'd quit buying soap and shampoo and stuff and shaving cream, because I do have to meet him occasionally in person, and you know I don't want him to reek. But I'm very glad that he has found a new company to get his products from, and it sounds like a really good company. I'm going to try to scam some bars of soap and stuff from him so I can see if I can turn my bathroom into a personal spa. Jason, I got to tell you, you kill me with your commercials. I love those things. So let's talk about Chez's predictions, okay? Number one, Chez has no idea what he's talking about. And if you don't know that from listening to this show or watching Those Who Show Up Decide, then you obviously either need to watch and listen less or study it a lot more. Predictions. Wow. For the last couple of years, we knew Hillary was going to be the Democrat presidential candidate. There was a point in time where I was wondering who was going to be her vice president. I thought Elizabeth Warren would step in and do that. Then there was a huge point in time when she was mired in all the email scandals that I thought we were looking at Joe Biden stepping in last summer and announcing he was going to run for president. And he had even went and traveled and met with Elizabeth Warren. And I was betting that I predicted that there was a good chance Joe Biden would jump in with Elizabeth Warren as his vice presidential candidate. That did not materialize because at that time, a year ago in October, it was shortly after Vice President Biden's son, Beau Biden, who's an Iraq war vet, had passed away from cancer. And that obviously deeply affected Vice President Biden. And I had my condolences then and now to the Biden family for their really deep loss. But when the Democratic convention happened this summer, with more emails coming out and the obviousness that the entire DNC leadership had been really stepping up and punting for Hillary and was trying to keep Bernie Sanders down. I mean, who would have ever imagined that a 70,000-year-old guy who's a absolute socialist, almost might as well be a communist, was going to come that close to knocking Hillary off before the convention? And honestly, I think that if he had won that nomination, the Democratic nomination, against Donald Trump, if that was the matchup, I think we might be looking at Bernie Sanders as our president right now because of Trump's negatives, of which there were about 10,000. Because, as I've said many times on this show, the decision between Hillary and Donald was not the lesser of two evils. No, it was which devil do you want to choose? I have no love for Trump, but I also refuse to vote for or in any way assist by not voting or voting for Gary Johnson or Jill Stein or anybody. I was not going to help a felonious, treasonous, I believe murderous individual get into that office. And those are my beliefs about candidate Clinton. Luckily, the American people also realize that. But we're going to talk about that here in a minute. But let's stay on focus with my picks. So either way, Hillary ended up getting the nomination. Governor or Senator Kane? I never really studied the guy. It was amazing to me she even picked him. It was definitely a Dan Quayle moment, like, who? Who's that guy? And but he could have been the vice president, and God bless him for it. So, you know, we went through that, and that's where we sat on the Democratic side. Well, on the Republican side, that's where I really studied up. Because at the beginning, what did we have? 28, 30 different people throw their hats in the ring to be the Republican nominee? It was a mess. It was a mess. I let me see. Okay, so Trump, Kadish, Cruz, Rubio, Christie, Ben Carson, Rand Paul. Remember Rand Paul? Who else was on that stage? Lindsey Graham was there for a minute and a half. I think Mike Huckabee was there for a couple of minutes. That only gets me to 9. I know there was way more than 9. So if you remember all the candidates that started out this race on the Republican side, feel free to post that on Those Who Show Up Decide. I'll be interested in seeing if anybody can get that number, because I certainly can't. So my pick at, Jeb Bush. That's right. Jeb Bush. So my pick at the very beginning of when the Republicans were talking about this whole thing, I was betting that Jeb Bush was going to be the Republican nominee. He certainly had the money, and he had all the blessing from all the establishment and everything else, but it was going to be Jeb Bush, and my pick for his most likely vice presidential candidate was going to be, wait for it, New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez. That was the one that I thought would be on the Republican side going against Hillary and somebody. And my bet would be that Hillary would win, because Jeb Bush has zero personality. Susana could have picked up a big chunk of the Hispanic vote from Hillary, but you never know how that's going to go. So that was my picks in the beginning. Then Trump threw his hat in, and everybody laughed. I mean, Washington to L.A., everybody rolling on the floor like, seriously, Trump, right? We're talking about Donald. And everybody laughed. And then he did his campaign announcement out on Staten Island. And in the first 15, 20 minutes is when he came out with the now infamous statement about how not just Mexicans, but the Mexican government itself was sending their worst people over the border, like on purpose. Mexican government troops were out there, the police, the army, and they were rounding up all their rapists, criminals, and drug dealers, and they were sending them over the wall instead of good, honest, you know, people. And we're not going to get into a conversation right now about my attitude on illegal aliens. The easiest answer there is illegal means illegal. But still, of all the ones that come across, some of them are just trying to seek a better life, and I can appreciate that idea. They are not all criminals, drug dealers, and all the rest of that crap. But that's what Trump said. And my comment somewhere on my page back in that point in time was, wow, that was the quickest presidential campaign in history. Took 20 minutes, and it was over. Because once he said that, then of course the media went berserk. And I believe rightfully so, because he was way out of line with that comment. Then, 2 weeks later, he's still in the race, which that blew me away, and somebody asked him about John McCain. And his response was, well, he was captured. And I don't think people that were captured are heroes. I think guys that didn't get caught are heroes. Okay, so you just dissed one of the most famous POWs in American history, who has served our country since practically birth. And you just blew him off. Yeah, that's a way to get the veteran vote. Awesome job, dude. And that actually, that one really got to me. And I was like, this guy is just insane. Well, as time went on, he started picking off rivals. They started dropping. And honestly, I got to tell you, the biggest factor in the way Trump won the Republican nomination, no less the presidency, is the liberal media. They gave it to him. I would have to say the number one factor in his win was that, because he almost didn't spend a nickel at all during the primaries, because the media was covering everything that came out of his mouth, because it was so ridiculous most of the time, and they figured, well, we'll just bash the heck out of him, and then, you know, what it is what it is. Well, that was a huge mistake, because he was saying things that actually did, after you cut his insane bloviation out of it, got down to the kernel of whatever idea he was working on, like with immigration, illegal immigration, there were a lot of people that really felt that what he was saying meant something. And that's where the second biggest factor, as far as I'm concerned, came in Trump winning, and why every poll was wrong. And I said this last week on the show, that for Trump to win, you would have to have two things happen. And I'm doing this from memory, so if my quote's off, then, you know, yell at me later for it. But I know that I've said that it would take the silent minority, in other words, all those people that haven't voted in the last 8 years on the right, that have been so fed up with Obama and Hillary and all the rest of that stuff. These are the people that aren't answering the phones when the pollsters call. They hang up on them. So the polls aren't going to get their feedback. So every poll, no matter how honest, even no matter how right-wing the poll is not going to capture those people. So there's number one. If those people came out, that silent minority people, then that would take Trump over the top. And then the second thing is, if Democrats, if the far left progressive that supported Hillary, and if the Democrats that didn't trust Hillary didn't vote or voted for Jill Stein or, Gary Johnson, if that's where they went, then Trump had a chance. An incredibly remote chance, but a chance. My prediction for Tuesday was Hillary was going to win it, and that was the end of it, and we're going to have four more years of President Obama and liberal policies and all the rest of that jazz. Okay, well, that kind of didn't happen. The other conspiracy thing that I had before we get into the interviews that we've got coming up here, let me tell you, this was my favorite conspiracy theory that I hatched and was also talked about on different shows and stuff, and that was from the beginning of Trump's primary run, I actually thought that Trump was a Hillary Clinton plant. Seriously, because he had been friends with the Clinton for years, he'd been at their parties, donated to their campaigns, all that stuff, and I seriously thought that Trump's purpose was to make the Republican Party look so ignorant and so stupid and so lunatic time that he would clean off the wannabes off the slate and leave, you know, the semi-reasonable, decent candidates out there. But the end result would be that the Republican Party would look like a bunch of knuckleheads because of Trump's conduct during the primaries. And I thought he was a plant. Well, now he's the president, so I don't think he's a plant at all. End result, hey, Trump won. And for all the people, including me, that thought, though, that election might be rigged, look at that, it actually wasn't. And so I got to tell you, my faith in America as an institution has been restored. Do I have concerns about President Trump? Gigantic ones. Don't think I'm all woohoo partying and everything else. I had a blog going all night on Tuesday night on the results as they were coming in, watching the commentators switch sides as the needle moved towards Trump. It was hysterical. I was up to like 3 in the morning. That's my idea of fun. Either way, we have a President Trump. But we also had an election night, and I got to talk to some good candidates in our local area right here in the Big Basin, starting with Yvette Harrell. So as soon as we get done with this next commercial, we'll be talking to the lovely Yvette Harrell and see why she ran and what her beliefs were as far as this entire primary and election season.
MDC Computers on the corner of White Sands Boulevard and 12th Street is the only place in town that meets Master Sergeant Chez's computer needs. In their newly refurbished and organized facility, Devin and his crew of qualified technicians repair computers, clean viruses, transfer data, sell new and used computer equipment, and have the knowledge and reasonable pricing to solve just about all your computer issues and needs. And this just in, MDC Computers now has an internet cafe. Come in, get away from the office or the home. Just $3 an hour for high-speed internet access. Hours are 10 to 6 Monday through Friday and 10 to 3 on Saturdays. You can contact them at 575-437-7600. That's 575-437-7600. Tell them Master Sergeant Chez sent you.
And very quickly, before I get into the Yvette Harrell interview, because that was MDC, I wanted to mention that today, this afternoon, Saturday the 12th, at Alameda Park, right here in Alamogordo, New Mexico, the United Way is having their chili cook-off. It's a benefit for the fundraisers for the United Way and all of their charity organizations. So come on down. The Big Basin is going to be there. So you're going to meet Jason Kirtman. I will be there. I will have just gotten done walking in the Veterans Day Parade with my dog Atlas, and as soon as that's done, I'll go down there. Jason and I are going to be broadcasting from the chili cook-off itself. We'll be announcing the winners, we'll be talking to people about the United Way, that kind of stuff throughout the day, so feel free to go to thebigbasin.com right where you're listening to this, and you can tune in. I think our evil plan is to go on the half hour, do 15-20 minutes, then go back to his normal feed, and then on the half hour, do another 15-20 minutes, that kind of jazz. So should be a fun day. I'll be there all day. So if you want to come down, throw rocks at me, yell at me, whatever you want, come on down. I'll be still in my uniform from being in the parade, so I should be fairly easy to spot and target with long-range rifles. Other than that, let's get into the Yvette Harrell interview and see what she was thinking just before the results were coming out on election eve.
Hopefully this will be a decent recording. I'm doing it on my iPhone. I'm at GOP Republican Party headquarters of Otero County here in the Big Basin, otherwise known as Alamogordo, New Mexico. And I am standing next to actually 110% the most beautiful woman in the room, and definitely the smartest person in the room. The only one that could tire for that is probably Bill Burr sitting over there. Okay. This is Yvette Harrell, who we're hearing rumors her race has been called, but it isn't 100% official yet. But she was in a well-contested race, I would say, against Miss Denise Lang. I've done interviews with both you guys. But here we are at the end. Let's not assume and let's not do the happy dance yet.
Okay.
But how do you feel without doing the happy dance?
I feel pretty confident right now because the numbers, when I've looked, it did have me ahead. So I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch.
No, we're not setting off fireworks yet.
But certainly I do feel pretty comfortable in the margin, the lead margin right now.
Okay, good. Now, what would you say was a key issue in your race? We know the big issues for the national races, things like that. And, of course, right now as we're looking at the numbers, Trump's up in numbers, but Florida is being brutal to us.
Right.
It's going to hang on to the last minute. But in the meantime, what do you think here in District 51? Okay, that would be you, right? Okay. What would be an important issue that you would say voters want to keep coming back and re-electing you? Because this is your third term you just got elected to, am I correct?
Fourth.
Oh, Chad's got the wrong number. Okay, fourth term, congratulations. You've served three terms.
Right.
So why do people like you?
I think I've been really blessed in this district and in the state. I feel like I work good with a lot of the constituency. I'm a good listener. I reach out all the time throughout the year and while we're in session to different companies, different individuals. I like getting other perspectives on bills, how it affects industry, what it looks like for New Mexico businesses. I do a lot of communicating throughout the year and even when we're in session. I think people appreciate being included. It's a very inclusive job for me. I like to hear opinions and know what things are happening within the state that are either helpful or harmful to business and others. So I think they appreciate my willingness to work hard and to be a good listener and to be open and transparent and honest with them. And I appreciate their support.
We know that, well, obviously when it comes to you, I've seen you in many settings, and you always listen to the people and you always talk with them, no matter what side of the issue that they come from. Is there a particular thing, though, an issue, besides your wonderful spark-upping personality, what do you work towards, you know, what's a big issue for Yvette?
For me personally, I work on putting the people first in the Constitution. I'm in Santa Fe. I really look at the constitutionality of a lot of different bills that come. But I know at the end of the day, Paul, it isn't about me being up there. It's about everybody from Alamogordo, about 29,000 people in District 51 being there. And I work very hard to carry the voice of the people. And I protect our Constitution and everything that I do.
You hang out around Steve Pierce a lot, don't you?
I do.
Because I did an interview with him at the Mike Pence rally. And that's almost exactly what he said as well, is that he stands up for his principles, and he serves the people of New Mexico. And he tries to bring our morals, values, ethics up there to Washington. And if that means that it gets him in a fight with the Republican Party leadership up there, for Steve, that's just another day at work, I think.
I've had my fights with leadership in Santa Fe. And
I know that about
you. The big one was because I would not support the minimum wage increase. I believe that's up to individual businesses. That is not a place for government. It's up to industry standards. It depends on experience and performance and so many other benchmarks that should determine minimum wage or pay grade in particular. And I had fights with my own leadership over that particular bill.
We could do another 2 hours on minimum wage alone.
Absolutely.
Okay. My view that gets lost on the other side completely is that minimum wage is for a minimum skill set and minimum work.
Right. It's
okay.
Not a living wage.
It's not supposed to be a living wage. Okay. It's for the teenager in high school. Okay.
Right.
That's who it is for. if you better yourself, if you graduate high school, if you go to a community college, if you go to a trade school of some type,
sure,
gain a skill, you will, absolutely. There's a million ways to increase your pay. But if you are going to try to support a family on minimum wage, that's not what its intent ever was, okay? Right. And the other part that I think people completely miss in the minimum wage calculation is, and I've said this a million times, my listeners have heard this, is that when I ran my car wash, I paid my guys minimum wage. Now, the minimum wage is an interesting thing when it comes to businesses that get tips, and sure, car wash guys get tips, sure, okay? So technically, when I paid my guys, I should have calculated their tips into their pay, and I would have only had to pay them, I think it was, $235?
Yeah, something like that.
Somewhere around that. Mm-hmm. That's not how I did it. I paid them full minimum wage. I paid them $7.50. I don't care if they got a tip or not. It didn't matter to me, because what I wanted them to do was earn those tips for themselves.
So they can have a better income.
But there's also a hidden quality in that, and that is, if they are working hard to get the tip from the customer, guess what they're doing? They're doing a better job.
That's right.
And if they're doing a better job to get that $10, $15 tip off of washing that car, that increases the quality of my business. That increases the reputation of my business.
Sure.
I don't lose. Yeah, I don't lose by paying them full minimum wage and letting them pocket all of their tips.
Right.
That's not a loss for me at all, and I never saw it as such. But again, it's also not a living wage.
Sure.
But let's switch to a different subject, something that's actually on this ballot that, of course, it's all said and done. There was a constitutional amendment out there this time, and
right,
you wrote quite an article about that and spoke eloquently about it on one or two occasions, and I know you influenced my vote. So give us like the 1 minute, what was that about?
Yeah, it was the constitutional amendment in regards to setting up pretrial services through
right,
the Supreme Court or through all the court systems in New Mexico. Basically, why I can't support it is, number one, it puts the state of New Mexico judiciary specifically in competition with private business, which
right,
is the bail industry. There really there's already the ability for judges to withhold bond and to do certain things, but this to me was a way to kind of usurp, if you will, the legislature, because this will be an unfunded mandate, so nobody's asking the question,
oh,
how much is this going to cost the taxpayers.
Right.
You can read articles. It has not worked in New Jersey. It doesn't work where it's been implemented before, but the biggest beef I have with this is this puts an industry at risk or in jeopardy of going out of business. Plus, When these bail bondsmen are not utilized, their services aren't used because of the passage of this constitutional amendment, and someone doesn't show up for court because they've been released without any bail,
right,
they don't show up for court, who do you think they're going to be calling to go find these people? The police departments,
right,
the sheriff's departments, who do not have the resources to be doing that.
So that's just extra work for them.
It's extra work for them.
And, of course, the cops and the sheriffs, they have nothing to do anyway, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's an unfunded mandate. So it's going to cost the state a lot of money. And actually, let me say it. It's going to cost the taxpayers a lot of money. Plus, it's not foolproof. Now, we did, in terms of, it's not foolproof.
1 second. Damien, which guy called?
North Carolina.
North Carolina for Trump? North Carolina just went for Trump. How do you know where we are in the moment right now? Still want to hear Florida, though.
I do, too. But anyway, so it's unfortunate because I knew it would be written in such a way when the voters went to the ballot, they would read it, and it would look as though they had to vote for it the way it was written.
Right, absolutely.
But the sad thing is, when you have sitting Supreme Court justices in the Capitol lobbying, and I'm not talking about coming in and talking about a bill, I'm talking about heavy lobbying, pushing on legislators, and that should raise a red flag.
Yeah.
Number two, the bill will get, or the constitutional amendment will pass, and what court do you think is going to set those standards? It will be the New Mexico Supreme Court. We're allowing the Supreme Court to make way too many decisions in the state of New Mexico. They did it on marriage, they did it on abortion, and now they're doing it on...
Well, legislators like yourself, like Bill over there, your guys' job is to write law.
Right.
The judiciary's job is to enforce that law.
Correct.
The judiciary shouldn't be writing law.
Right. And when you have Supreme Court justices lobbying as hard as they did, one, that should have been a red flag. Number two, we did amend it, so it did make it a little bit better. But at the end of the day, it's still going to be an expense to taxpayers, and it's still... It's my biggest problem, like I said, is the expense of it and the fact that we're putting a private industry potentially out of business by doing this.
Okay. I heard a text come in. Do you want to check that to see? I heard something beep on your phone. I didn't know if it was something saying it's official for you or not. But what I did want to say is I think you and Denise did a very good job of campaigning on both sides. A lot of things I do respect about Denise. A lot of things I disagree with her on as well, but that's all politics.
She worked really hard.
Yeah.
It's difficult. I don't care who you are or what position you're running for. To just put your name out there and work hard and have to get acquainted with voters, I did it once.
It's brutal.
It's tough. And she did work very hard, and I'm very commendable.
Okay. Well, Yvette. Best of luck. I'm pretty confident, but we're not popping champagne yet. But by the time this show comes on Saturday, I will be telling you guys that Yvette will be the official winner of this race. So thank you very much for your time, Yvette. Okay,
right.
God bless.
Thank you.
And as I just said during the interview, Yvette Harrell did win that race. Denise actually did. Percentage-wise, a lot better than I expected her to do. So I have a lot of respect for the effort that Denise Lang, put in her running for that office. And as you well know, I did it once, and wow, that is a party. Running for office, you know, that's a full contact sport right there. So either way, what we're going to do is we're going to hit another one of my sponsors real quick. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Senator Bill Burt and get his views on his reelection as well as the bigger picture of the national election.
Master Sergeant Chez is not what you'd call a gardener. Nope. With his bad back, he's just not the guy to go out and mow the lawn or get rid of the weeds. So who does Chez call before code enforcement throws him in the yard jail? Art's Landscaping and Hauling, of course. A retired Master Sergeant himself, Art's got the experience and the work ethic for jobs from simple cleanup through major landscaping. Wouldn't it be nice to have somebody drive by your yard and say, "Hey, that's a work of art." Art also offers hauling services in case you've got that pile of junk to go to the dump, or perhaps something to haul across town. You can reach Art at 575-442-3209. That's 575-442-3209. And, as always, tell them Master Sergeant Chez sent you.
Hey, boys and girls, we are back now, and now we are standing here with my very good friend of many years, actually, one of the first people I did meet in both the business and the political community when I first got stationed here, and I was out on Holloman Air Force Base as the NCOIC of the Honor Guard out there. I got to meet this gentleman. His name is Bill Burt. He is our state senator for 33. Three, and I was going to say four and screw it up. That's Ron's district.
That's Ron's district.
Okay, there you go. But I've known Bill for quite a while. Geez, almost 10 years now that I've known Bill. And we both branched into other endeavors here and there. I hear you still do some radio occasionally, though.
Once in a while, but the last 60 days I haven't been able
to. You haven't done any. Do you even know
it? I'm just pushing paper, but I'm not saying anything.
You know they moved the station. It's down in the Oro Grande now, right? You know that? Didn't know if you knew that Jamie and Mike did that to you. Anyway, so obviously you ran unopposed.
Yes.
So I would say you're probably going to win.
Well, yeah, let's hope so.
Well, you got my vote.
I voted and Donnie voted. So
that's three. You got me there, too.
Okay, that's good. No, I will tell you, it's first off, I love serving. I love serving the people of District 33, and certainly many of my friends and cohorts here in Otero County. I also have good portions in Lincoln and Chavez County.
Right.
And good friends there as well. But it is an honor to serve, number one. And quite frankly, I am humbled by the fact that I did not have an opponent this time. And as I've told several people, quite frankly, I feel a little bit more pressure the fact that people are putting all of their eggs in my basket, so to speak. And so the voice I keep hearing in the back of my mind is, don't screw it up.
Right, right.
And I work really hard every day not to screw it up, quite frankly. This is a wonderful part of the state, and the state can grow and do some incredible things. It'll all depend on how tonight turns out and whether or not we can move forward on some of these issues.
See, you take the exact opposite attitude of a normal person that would be running unopposed. A normal person running unopposed would go,
I got this.
Right. I'm cool, and yeah. You can coast. But you're not built that way, are you?
That's not my MO. No, I feel more obligation at this point in time to perform for the people.
People trust you.
District 33.
And that means something.
That's why they put their trust in me.
That means something. It means a lot, actually.
It does, and that's why I feel this way. And honestly, I love what I do for the state and for District 33. And I will work very hard to continue doing that. I've been fortunate enough to be elevated to Senate Finance as my primary committee in the Senate, and now I've been placed on LFC, the Legislative Finance Committee, on a permanent basis. So we're moving forward on working with the Department of Finance and Legislative Council, Legislative Finance Council, to make sure that we maximize what revenues we have in the state, and make sure that the taxpayer dollars are being spent as best we possibly can.
Absolutely. And that's where I want you to be.
Well, I appreciate that, yeah.
I mean, seriously, that's
one of those very steep learning curves.
You know, and you know, like I jokingly said when I came in, you know, tonight I'm really hoping that I do win mayor. Okay, I use that joke at every election, right? Because I got my butt kicked that time. But the thing is it's not easy to run, and it's not easy to do a business as well, which you do both, okay? You have a big business in radio, as well as you take your job as state senator extremely serious.
Very serious.
And, you know, like I just said to Yvette, when I asked her why does she think people rely on her, you've said the same thing, and it's the same thing that Steve Pierce told me in an interview I did with him out at the Mike Pence rally a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And it was just that you guys stand for your principles, you believe in your morals, your ethics, etc.,
yes.
But you concentrate on what your constituents want.
That's my agenda. I mean, I don't come. I'm not looking to better myself to become governor or the federal, you know, the Senate or any of that stuff. I am tickled to death to serve the people of District 33, and they bring me the agenda. That's as we look around the state during the interim committee period time, which is probably about April, May, to the holidays. We travel around the state with different committees, getting input from different constituents about what legislation they believe should be run. We evaluate that, we vet that in different parts of the state, and then we come up with a small list of bills that the committees do support, and those are usually the foundation of the legislative body that we put forth on the first day of the session. Coming up in January.
Now, that's a lot of travel.
It's a lot of travel.
Okay, and I know Yvette, I meant to ask her this question, but I know Yvette also does a huge amount of travel.
Yeah.
And you both do travel besides what you need to do with your committees. You do other travel out of state and to different places to get more information on different bills, different subjects that are coming up. I'm just curious, you guys get paid a lot to do your jobs?
Oh, yeah, boy, we're rolling in the dust.
Well, you know, so a lot of people don't know what a senator or a representative gets paid.
New Mexico is one of two states that remains, and I think the other state is modifying theirs, citizen legislature. And that means the only pay that we get is when we work for the state. So if we're in session, we get a per diem for that day.
Right.
If we travel around the state, we get a per diem for the day that we're meeting in that committee, and then we get mileage.
Travel expenses.
From over 100 miles.
Right.
And so...
But you don't pull down like $100,000 a year being a senator?
There's no way.
You don't pull. Essentially, though, the reality is you really don't get a salary.
No.
If you don't do your job as a senator on that day, you don't get paid for that day.
That's basically it. We get $160, I think it's $163 a day.
Mm-hmm.
Ballpark that.
Yeah, but that's also taking you out of your home. You have to support yourself and, you know, find some kind of little barn to sleep in or something in Santa Fe.
That's housing, that's gas, that's, you know, wear and tear on your car, that is meals.
Wear and tear on your hair.
Wear and tear what I have left. See what you've done to me.
Yeah, I know.
I'm done. 6 years and it's gone. No, that's it. And I'm not complaining at all. It's just that's the way that New Mexico works.
Yeah.
So what I would tell you, and people don't do this as a career, and they don't do it obviously for the money. Most people who are in this business are doing it because they feel the need to serve
they care.
The folks of their district.
And we're going to take a quick break to hear from one of our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll hear me and the great Senator Bill Burt bloviating about the national races. And remember, this conversation was happening around 8:30, 9 o'clock on election night. And I don't believe even Florida had been called at that point. So we're going to be talking about that and where we think things were going at that point in the evening. So a little interesting spin there.
There are good cars, there are bad cars, and there are ugly cars. And Most Wanted Mobile Detail cleans them all. They'll come to your work or home and detail your smart car through your RV. They'll even do everything, from kids' tricycles through construction vehicles. If it's got wheels, wings, or floats, Louie, Chris, and the guys are the best detailers in town. Are you selling your ride? Most Wanted is who to call to get it ready to sell. So do you feel lucky? Well, do you? Then tell them Master Sergeant Chez sent you for 15% off any wash. You can reach Louie at 575-415-0256. That's 575-415-0256. You see, in this world, there are only two kinds of people. Those with clean cars and those with dirty cars. Most Wanted Mobile Detail cleans up the dirty ones.
Okay, so definitely the polls are closed, I think, all the way through the West by now. National polls.
I think we're coming up to 9 o'clock. Yep. It should be 8 o'clock out
yep,
there.
You're right. So we're about 5 minutes from now, California will close. Of course, Alaska and Hawaii. But that's only, I think, seven total votes between the two of them.
I think five or six somewhere in there.
Right. Obviously, California, 55 electoral votes. That's huge. And you can pretty much call that Clinton.
Well, the whole West Coast, according to the predictions, will probably be Democratic in their leaning. And so,
Florida still hasn't been called.
Florida is too close to call. I know.
Last I looked, it was within a percent.
Yes. Ohio and North Carolina now has gone to Trump.
Yeah, that was huge.
Also for, Pennsylvania is a swing state. We're waiting for that. So
that was Hillary Clinton last time I looked at it.
Yes. We're looking at Pennsylvania and Florida right now.
Michigan.
And Michigan is in play. Then you'll move west. They've already called Colorado for Clinton.
Of course, New Mexico's Ron Clinton. No surprise there.
But Nevada and Arizona are leaning towards Trump.
Utah is going to be a very interesting state with that third party guy, Eric something or other. I can't remember his name, but he's only running for president in that state.
Yes.
And actually has a chance.
Well, he's going to pull. Anytime you have someone in the game, they're going to pull a portion of the game away from the rest of the players.
And that individual could pull just enough from Trump to put Utah into Clinton's column.
Good. Anything is possible.
Yeah, so this is, what is it? We said it's almost 9 o'clock here.
Yeah, mountain time, yeah.
Mountain time in New Mexico. And, of course, this show will broadcast on Saturday morning, my next show. But this is Tuesday night. It's election night. It's the big day. We've been headed here for the last 4 years, but actively for the last two.
Two, yeah.
Okay, and it's been the most common word I think I've seen is roller coaster.
Oh, boy. That's an understatement.
Has this been brutal or what?
It has, and I'm going to quote it.
What? Which? Trump? Yes! There is, people. Florida just went for Trump. That is huge.
That is a huge deal.
What's the numbers now?
131.
Say again?
212
to 131. Wow. Florida just went for Trump. There was no chance he was going to win without Florida.
Right, right.
No chance.
Well, yeah,
you'd have had to put together every other.
The last I don't know how many cycles, every president has won those two states, and so reading into that.
This could be
very to go yet, but let's see what happens.
And one of the reasons I'm staying with you on this topic for a minute
right.
is that while you're a state senator and you ran unopposed, and I love you being there, you've been a good friend of mine for a very, very long time, and a mentor for me. My little bits in politics, I like coming to talk to you and learning and seeing how you do your job.
Well, if you're smart, and we had the conversation early on about whether you're a politician or a public servant.
Oh, yeah, no
you
kidding.
You claim that I'm a politician, I claim that I'm a public servant.
No, you are a public servant.
But if you're not continuing to learn all the time, you should get out of the game, in my opinion.
And
if you think you know it all, you got to get out.
Oh, that's the one thing that I know about myself is I don't even... I know so much less now than I did when I was 19. Okay, because when I was 19, I knew everything. I knew everything. But I'm staying with you, talking to you about now the national level, because you've been a broadcaster.
Yes.
You've been doing news for decades.
Yeah.
Okay. All I'm gonna ask is, and we kind of alluded to this a moment ago about the roller coaster.
Right.
Okay. At the presidential level, starting back with the 17 Republicans, my bet is we were going to be sitting right now with Bush and Susanna being the Republican nominee. That was my bet a year and a half ago.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I won that one. Stupid thing, I came close. You'd have to go back through thousands of hours of CNN and Fox News and everything else to find if any singular commentator out there
ever said
what they said originally is where they're at now. In fact, Fox has been saying all night that what they were thinking 3 hours ago.
Oh.
4 hours ago, yeah. before the polls started closing.
They were just waiting for the states to fall.
Right.
And they go home.
And they go,
what's happening?
Once Florida went, then, North Carolina, who cares? 212 to 202. Okay. I'm getting updates from my friend Damien over there. But the thing is that I personally don't know anybody, and I know I'm in this category, that made any kind of even opinion, forget about prediction, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And was right.
Oh. No. But there are many ways you can discuss this, but I think what you're seeing tonight is exactly what has put Trump in the position he's in for tonight, is people are so absolutely disgusted, and I'm talking disgusted.
Beyond.
With the way the country is being run.
Absolutely.
That they don't participate anymore. They're off the grid. They're not getting polling calls.
Right. I've been saying that my last few shows.
And they've got caller ID, so they don't even answer the phone.
Right.
But tonight, you're seeing the results of that, and people are sick and tired. And even if Trump doesn't win, they want to make a statement, and they're making
a hell of a statement going on right now.
I can guarantee you right now that the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, I believe both, are going to have to look internally inside and look at how they're doing business, because I think they're missing the population out here in the world.
The flyover states.
That really are the foundation for what we have.
Just look at the red and blue map.
Oh, yeah.
And you got spots of blue, and you got a whole huge amount of red, but the catch is where's the population centers?
Right.
Okay, and that's what goes. But the other side of that coin, every time I get in an argument about the Electoral College with somebody, they say, we need to get rid of that. Well, if we'd have gotten rid of that, then Al Gore would be our president when 9/11 happened.
Right. Think about that one.
Yeah, think about that, because he won the popular by 500,000 votes, but Bush won that one county by, like, what, 560? It was in Florida.
563 or something.
560, 563, four votes is what decided the entire history of the world.
So from now on, until you die, every vote counts, and if you don't get
vote,
this is what can happen.
And that actually is what I've been saying on my page and everything else.
Yeah.
Well, my page is those who show up decide.
Right.
And because you've known me for a long time, I may be a Republican, I may be a conservative Republican with a lot of libertarian leanings, but I'm not a complete lunatic. But here's the thing, okay, and I said this repeatedly today, I don't care if you voted for Gary, for Jill, for that Eric guy in Utah. All I wanted you to do was go out and vote. The only people that I'm not talking to tomorrow is the people that didn't vote.
Right.
If you voted,
they didn't show up.
Put up a sign going, hey, Hillary won, I'm happy, then I will be proud of you for participating.
Yeah.
You participated. I'm not going to like who won, but it sucks to be me, and that's called being an American, by the way.
Because
last time I checked, we all get to have an opinion, and then whoever wins, wins.
Right.
And then
you have to hate somebody and go out and shoot them.
Thank you.
It means you have a difference of opinion and suck it up.
Are we allowed to? We're allowed to have differences of opinion.
We're allowed to have difference of opinion. It's how you handle that difference of opinion.
Absolutely.
You don't go out and shoot somebody, or you don't call them names, or you don't, you know, unfriend them for the rest of their lives. They simply have a difference of opinion than you do.
Right.
And over and above politics, you probably have a lot of common ground, such as, you know, your favorite music, your favorite team, your favorite TV show, your favorite movie.
If you start thinking about the divisions of, like, how many people love The Walking Dead, which, by the way, I've never watched.
I haven't either.
Okay, and then you divide it up into Republicans and Democrats that way. No, you are going to have something in common with virtually every other person on the planet at some point, some
sure
way.
You are.
So
sure you are.
It is the divisiveness.
Republicans and Democrats have the same likes and dislikes in many cases.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Be aware.
So let me ask you this one last question. You're only a couple of days older than me.
Right.
Okay, because you're a very young man just like I am. We're both about 30.
Sure.
Ish. Or some multiple thereof. In your time, I know I can say this for my time.
Yeah.
Okay? In my time, I've never seen anything as brutal as the last 2 years.
Yeah, I watched a segment on 60 Minutes Sunday night.
Okay.
And Frank Lutz, who does a lot of work for Fox.
Oh, yeah, I know Frank.
But he's
I know about
Frank.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
He had a focus group on. And the... not just the disdain, but the actual hate. And I have no problem using the word, the hate for the way the country is being run and the way people feel about each other and the divisiveness that we're all dealing with in this country was... he is, in 30 years of polling, he's never seen anything like this.
Right.
He almost had to walk away because he wasn't really sure how to calm the crowd down and how to handle this. And for him, who was a virtual pro at this whole thing, to do that, it speaks volumes to me. And you should have seen these people. They were just angry, mad at
yeah.
how things were going. And there were Trump supporters, there were Hillary supporters, there were undecideds in this group.
And they all wanted to kill somebody.
They all, the 30 or 40 people there, all agreed that things are really screwed up.
Okay. 1976 election, was that the Reagan-Carter one? Now, remember going into that one, okay?
Reagan was in the 80s, right? It was one that 80 to 88?
That's, yes, you're probably right.
Okay.
But what, when it was Reagan-Carter,
okay,
that election.
Oh, yeah.
Carter was way ahead.
Way ahead.
Way ahead.
Way ahead.
And that was the election that Reagan took 49 states.
Yes.
That's not going to happen tonight for Trump, obviously.
No.
But don't be surprised. And what you said about the people that quit answering their phone,
yeah.
If they came out as much as we think they came out, this might be a huge surprise tonight.
Well, and I also think that there are a group of Democrats
that are fed
who
up.
Are just thoroughly disgusted and may not have voted either.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. There's just so many ways to slice this pie.
So many ways.
And anytime you take a look at the pie and you think, okay, I've got it,
yeah.
Somebody throws a couple of more apples in, throws a cherry in, grabs some olives, and, you know,
there's no
way. This has been, I have repeatedly said, oh, this is going to change the election, and I don't know, maybe about 6-8 months ago, I was like, yeah, whatever. Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
So, anyway, Bill. Thank you for taking as much time as you did with me. I always appreciate your mentorship. I always appreciate your service for our area down here in the South. As always, do what you do best, which is remind them folks up north that there is New Mexico below I-40.
We work okay. on that every day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else you want to say to my folks?
No, just again, thank you to all of those folks in Otero County who support me in my efforts in Santa Fe and throughout the year for the New Mexico legislature. It is truly, again, my honor to serve. And my door is always open. My office is at 501 South Florida, Monday through Friday. If the white F-150 is out in the front, I'm
yep.
there. I don't mind you dropping in at all, or certainly give me a call, and we'll set up a time to talk. And
you've always done that for me.
My agenda is your agenda.
Yep. He's always done that for me, people. And that's not because he likes me, because he really doesn't, okay? It's because he actually does listen to his constituents, and I appreciate that. All right, Bill, thank you very much.
Thanks,
folks, we'll hit a commercial, and then when we come back, I'll finish crying or cheering about whoever won tonight, all right?
There's nothing worse than being broke down and needing a tow. But it's good to know that the best towing service in the Big Basin and the surrounding area is 54 Towing. They were voted by Otero County as the best towing service for 2016. Amy and John Paul have the trucks and the expertise for whatever your towing needs are. From smart cars to semis, they will get it done. And if you're looking for a hard-to-find part for your ride, they also operate North 54 Salvage, the best salvage yard in Alamogordo. Just remember their slogan, we don't want an arm and a leg, we just want your toes. You can contact them at 575-585-9097. That's 575-585-9097. And tell them Master Sergeant Chez sent you.
Well, as is now in the history books, we obviously had quite the evening that night. You know, at that point in the evening, it was a, gee, I wonder if Trump can actually pull this off. And it was all in the hypothetical, as you heard during that interview with Senator Bill Burt. Florida had been called for Trump at that point, which was the key state that he had to have to move forward from there. And suddenly the math got way out of control. And after that, that's when you started looking at the streams from Clinton campaign headquarters in New York and then Trump campaign headquarters. And they were vastly different moods. And this was, mind you, oh, I don't know, a good hour and a half, 2 hours before it was pretty much a lock. It was still uncertain, big time uncertain, and still looked like Hillary had a very good chance of winning. And the mood in Clinton headquarters, boy, you'd have thought that, you know, zombies were taken over in there. I mean, there were people crying, and this was hours before it was, you know, flat out called. And Trump headquarters, they were having a kegger down there. They thought that was great. And they thought, you know, there might actually be a chance we're going to pull this out. It was an absolutely amazing night, fitting for the entire election campaign season. As Bill and I talked about, it was a roller coaster from start to finish. And that night was quite the roller coaster as well. The other thing I want to say is, obviously, Bill and I had agreed as we got into that evening, as we were talking just now, that it was a combination of the silent majority coming out and the disenchanted and affected Democrats staying in. And our prediction at that point in the evening obviously came true about 3-4 hours later when Pennsylvania, of all places, I was betting it was going to be Michigan and not Pennsylvania. I expected Pennsylvania to go to Hillary. But sure enough, Pennsylvania got called and the rest is history. It was all over but the crying. So I'm not doing any victory laps or cheering. I am happy that Trump got elected and it wasn't Hillary. I am very proud that our American dream and our American experiment proved once again that it was possible in an election that we all thought was going to be rigged. Now we get to see what the next 4 years are like. I hope to see you at the Chili Cook-Off this afternoon. Other than that, have a great weekend.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Those Who Show Up to Side with Alamogordo's own Don Rickles, our true guardian of the flame of the Pink Flamingo, Paul Master Sergeant Chez Sanchez, retired. Before you leave, don't forget to send your restraining orders, request for mural-sized autograph photos, DNA samples, rusty handcuffs, and flame-retardant pajamas to thosewhoshow@hotmail.com. This has been Those Who Show Up Decide.